And this is my second week teaching about this. I hope it will be an every week event. The rabbi has his broadcast on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. Central, the same place, so you can come back tomorrow and listen to his teaching. But Friday nights, because I'm called to teach about praise and worship and to offer praise and worship in a group setting up in a spirit of unity, it helps to understand what's going on during praise and worship. The reason it concerns me is because I don't know how often I hear people saying, I can't sing, I have a terrible voice, you don't want to listen to me sing. But that's not scriptural. That's about you. And praise and worship is not about you. It's about God. Does he say, sing to me only if you have a cathedral voice? I don't think you're going to find that in the Bible. He says, make a joyful noise. Amen? So if somebody's picking on you, like I used to be picked on by my mother for having an inferior voice, then find someplace else to sing, even if it has to be in your car. If you have a car, find someplace else. But sing to the Lord. Amen? All right, so this is praise and worship. So in the following scripture from 1 Chronicles 16, verses 28 and 29, ask yourself, which of the following sentences describe worship and which ones describe praise? Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe, give credit to. That's praise. All right. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Again, ascribe is give credit to, praise. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. That is also praise. And it continues in 1 Chronicles 16:29. Bring an offering and come before him. Offering is worship. Worship and this, then I think it would be, you'd be more involved and sure of what you're doing and not relying on your vocal talent to offer praises to the Lord. It's much more than that. We are commanded to praise God. Angels in the heavenly hosts are commanded to praise the Lord. And you can find that in Psalm 89:5, 103:20, 148:2. I want you to pay attention to this. It is impossible to worship God and anything else at the same time. And that's in Luke 4:8. In my particular Bible, it refers to that as double-minded. So if you're attempting to praise God and worship God, and you have something else going on in your mind besides him, you're not worshiping him. You're not. And some that do not know how to surrender their hearts to God will pretend to be worshiping in a public gathering. Worship is an attitude of the heart, and we know the Father sees our hearts. A person can go through the outward motions and not be worshiping. And you can find that in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, and Matthew 6, verses 5 through 6. God sees the heart. And he desires and deserves sincere, heartfelt praise and worship. So if you're coming to join us in praise, shut off your cell phone, remove all of the distractions, and let's get serious about praising God. So the Bible calls double-mindedness, the Bible calls it. Number one, your eyes are looking at other people while you're praising God. Double-minded. Number two, worse yet, you are talking to others during worship. Or what happened to me at a Messianic synagogue in Dallas was that I was standing in praise during the praise, and this lady that was down the aisle, she come walking over, bumped me in the arm, and pushed me out of the way so she could talk to one of the rabbi's wives that was standing in front of me, because we were sitting in the front. And I thought, what? We're praising God and you didn't even say excuse me and you pushed me out of the way so you could talk to her? Are you kidding me? Why didn't you just go around? Anyway, you shouldn't be going around anyway. Anyway, number three, you are texting during worship. I'm sure some of you have seen that. And okay, so you have a valid reason. You have your phone out because you're looking up scripture. Good. If you're texting somebody, you're double-minded. Number four, you keep your cell phone on so you won't miss that call. And guess what? It always rings during the service. And that is really inconsiderate. Number five, you're thinking about your lunch. Because you know a lot of times when you go to church or a synagogue, they get that oneg or potluck. You can smell the food and you start thinking about the food and you want to shorten the praise and worship service. Number six, you're watching the clock or your wristwatch thinking it's time to eat. Number seven, you are enjoying the music but you're not engaged in praise. Number eight, you're admiring the talents of the praise and worship team. Oh, aren't they so great? Number nine, you're admiring the band's musical equipment. Whoa, look at that guitar. Number 10, you pray to be seen and feel self-worth with the attention it brings. Doesn't that remind you of the Pharisees? Number 11, you're over-emotional to the point of barking like a dog, which maybe some of you have seen at some of those Brownsville meetings. They get on their hands and knees, start barking. Seriously? Doesn't the Word of God say that we shall do everything in order? Number 12, you aren't able to praise to the same degree that you shout at a football game. Number 13, you cannot discern between your emotions versus the Holy Spirit. And lastly, you think salvation comes without the Torah. So pardon me for stepping on toes, but we need to understand what is right for the Father, and because we love Him, right? And if you love somebody, you find out what pleases them, and you do it because you love that person. So let us love God the way He deserves to be loved. Meditation is the key to worship. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's in 2 Corinthians 10:5. So again, you're eliminating double-mindedness in doing so, which means no distractions. In other words, looking at what others are wearing during the service or texting during praise keeps you on the ground floor of praise. The elevator is stuck on the ground floor. In Judaism, it is understood that we have an animal soul. Christians call it the flesh or the carnality, the natural part of us that responds to our senses and has a materialistic desire for satisfaction. It also possesses an intellectual element which is capable of understanding spiritual concepts by practicing meditation and disciplining the mind. So this is a discipline. Some may struggle with ascending discipline of the mind in worship because of the physical smorgasbord surrounding us at the local gathering. Please know that the animal soul, or the flesh, or carnality, is not evil, but can be swayed by the Yetzer Hara, which is the evil inclination that we all have to deal with. Now, in the Zohar, it is written that there exists a celestial being called Patot, P-A-T-O-T, a demon who induces humans to look at forbidden places where there is no need to look, especially during a worship service. Becoming aware of this distraction by way of discerning will help you to diagnose this issue of not being able to totally focus on God. Maybe your eyes have been in the wrong place for so long now that you've given them over to this demon, Patot, and you just can't help where you're looking at. Your eyes always seem to be going looking at somebody else's derriere. Or maybe you're checking out somebody's shoes while you're singing. Well, you shouldn't be. Lord forbid. Earlier rabbis who addressed this problem devised liturgical prayers, like we'll be singing together tonight, to help people focus on God in the spirit of unity. But the reason for this method is thwarted when you're attempting to praise God led by a cheerleading style of praise and worship, relying on somebody else to stir you up. Now, I understand when you first come into the house of God that you have praise and thanksgiving on your lips, which is in Scripture. I will enter the house of the Lord with thanksgiving and praise in my heart. All right, so you're there, and maybe you've had a rough week. You need to be stirred up a little bit, so that praise and worship team is going to get you fired up, right? Well, you don't need to keep relying on them once you get the Spirit flowing, right? Stir yourselves up in your most holy faith. Once you get yourself initially stirred up, like starting a car, you don't need to keep looking at the praise and worship team. They're there singing. Unfortunately, in today's church, they stick them up front for the most part. When I was growing up, the liturgical choir was always up in the loft behind, and they all had robes on, so you didn't look at them. You couldn't see them. You didn't need to look at them. You only need to hear them. But that seems to have evolved into praise and worship wearing street clothes. As a matter of fact, one time I brought this Egyptian into a church service, and there was a praise and worship team up there at a Church of God service. He's looking at me, wondering what's going on, and he finally mustered up enough courage to say to me, "Why are they dressed for a disco? Why are they dressed like they're going to a disco?" Well, you know, that's just the way they dress, you know. So, okay. There is too much distraction for our eyes to gaze upon. Think about a football game. Do the spectators need help getting stirred up when there's a touchdown? So why do believers need to look at a praise team to conjure up or maintain a spirit of worship? Doesn't the word tell each of us as individuals to stir yourselves up in your most holy faith? Now, the personality movement declares that I don't have to do anything else for my salvation because Jesus did it all. Well, this is dogma that conflicts with the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you and I stir up the gift of God which is in you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God the Father has given us his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. The word stir up here in the Greek means to kindle afresh or to keep in full flame. By comparison, a fire that is neglected will soon die out. So let us kindle the flame in our hearts to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I thank you for listening. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend anybody, but the Father disciplines the children whom he loves, and if he's put this on my heart to teach it to you, it's just as much meant for me as you.
Adonai Henu, Atahu Adonai Henu, Atahu.